We turn in God's Word this morning to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. We have been looking at the Beatitudes in connection with preparatory services. This morning, we look at verse 6 of Matthew 5 on the occasion of Lord's Supper, and I'll explain that more why in the sermon, the beginning of the sermon, but I just point out that we do shift gears a little bit here to focus on the righteousness, hunger and thirst we have for righteousness. We're going to read the first 20 verses of Matthew 5, and the text will be verse 6. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. If the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And thus far, we read God's word. As I said, the text this morning is verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt use the preaching of the gospel this morning to give to us a greater hunger and thirst for Christ and his righteousness. We need that, Father, because in our sinful flesh, we hunger and thirst for wrong things. And many times we hunger and thirst for those things more than we do for Christ and his righteousness. We pray, Father, as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, that we would have a growing hunger and thirst for thee, because we know thy love, and we know thy faithfulness, and we know that in thee is found everything we need. So bless this word as it goes forth, strengthen thy servant, and open our hearts to receive it and comfort us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus, in Matthew 5 through 7, preaches that beautiful, amazing, perfect sermon, what we often call the Sermon on the Mount. It's a sermon about the kingdom of heaven. In the beginning verses of this sermon, we have what we know as the Beatitudes. And in the Beatitudes, we have the characteristics of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We have characteristics here that are worked in us by Christ and His Spirit as those who have been called by God to be citizens of His kingdom. And there's a progression to these characteristics. They're not just a list of characteristics without any relationship to one another. No, there's a progression in them. And so the first of those, remember, was poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And that points out the spiritual poverty of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven. The spiritual poverty that we have in our sin. And thus we are those who mourn then. Mourn, we weep over the sin that we commit against God. That mourning which is a part of true repentance before God. And thus this makes us humble, meek. So there it is, 3, 4, 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. But those then who know their sin, who cry because of their sin and weep because of their sin and know their humility then because of that sin, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And so we see this beatitude in verse 6 in the light of what has gone before, so also for us, after seeing our sin in this week, examining ourselves, we know our need to be filled with Christ and His righteousness. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven have that true hunger and thirst for Christ and His righteousness. I preach on that this morning, not only because we've been using the Beatitudes in connection with the Lord's Supper, but with preparatory, but in a special way with today. It's been 6 months for most of us since we have last partaken of the Lord's Supper. We missed the last time in May because of COVID. And no doubt because of that, God has worked in us a greater longing, a greater hunger and thirst to partake. But we remember that the hunger and thirst we have is not just for a sacrament. It's not for a piece of bread and a little cup of wine. But the hunger and thirst that we have is for something more than that. It's for what's pictured by that broken bread and poured out wine. The hunger and thirst we have is for Christ. The hunger and thirst we have is for His righteousness. So that we're reminded, even in missing the Lord's Supper, God uses that to give us a greater hunger and thirst for Him. And so even in the light of that, we can and we do give thanks today. So with that in mind, we consider this text under the theme, Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We notice first the object. So what is it that we hunger and thirst for? We want to understand what this righteousness is. Secondly, the desire. Then we look at the hungering and the thirsting that we have that Christ works in us by His Spirit. And then finally, the blessing, because the passage says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So first of all, what is this righteousness? Well, you notice in the word righteousness, a word that's familiar to us. It's the word right. Righteousness has to do with what is right. It has to do with what is good. But then the question comes, well, who determines what is right and who determines what is good? And we see and understand this morning that when we're talking about righteousness, we're talking about God's righteousness. So that the righteousness that we hunger and thirst for is the righteousness of God Himself. That's key. That's fundamental here, because this is what we need. Not our own righteousness. We need God's righteousness. Now what that means is, God is the one who sets the standard of what this righteousness is. Or in other words, He's the one who sets the standard of what is right and good. That's because of who God is. That's because of the very character of God. He's the standard of what is right and good because He is right and good. He is pure. There is no darkness and there is no sin in Him. He is the one who is the highest good. And therefore, when we talk about righteousness, we're talking about a rightness that God Himself establishes. Let's see and understand what that means about God for a moment. God is righteousness. That means that He's right in everything that He does. He is right in His rule in the world. He is right in His plan and decree, which He is accomplishing in all things that are happening in the world right now. That helps us to see everything that is going on in the world from a right perspective. God is doing what is right. He is always right and good. But also we see this morning that what God demands is always right and good. God can never be accused of injustice or unrighteousness. Isn't that amazing? You can never find fault in anything that God does or in anything that God says. What He says, what He does, is always right and good. That's the righteousness of God. Now, this righteousness of God is that which is revealed to us in the Word of God. When we talk about the righteousness of God, the question is, well, how do we know about this righteousness? Well, we know about it, not because there's some innate knowledge of it. No, there's not. We need this righteousness to be revealed to us. This is the only way that we can know it, if God reveals His righteousness to us. This is what He's done. This is what He's done in His Word more broadly. And then very specifically, this is what God shows us in His law. In the law is revealed the righteousness of God. We'll see the importance of that in a moment. But take notice of the fact that God reveals righteousness in His law. That tells us what is right before Him. And it's to love Him and to love our neighbor and to do that in the way that is spelled out in His law. So righteousness and life then is found in conformity to the law of God. It's found in doing what God demands in His law. All of that's very important because we live in a world that wants to say that man himself determines what is right and good. And that's the danger for us as well, that we become those who legislate what is right and good. We have that in our world today. And there's so much inconsistency in that. There's never inconsistency in God, but there is in this world. Think about it from the perspective even of COVID, coronavirus. And the world says, oh, we have to protect other people. We have to be concerned about those who are weak and helpless, and we don't want to spread this disease and illness to them. And certainly that should be a concern of ours as well. But at the same time, we live in a country that does not protect the weak and the helpless babies that are aborted by the thousands in our country every year. And so we live in a world that is arbitrary in its determination of what is right and good. This goes back even to Jesus' day. When Jesus speaks of this righteousness, it was the Pharisees who were setting their own standard for righteousness, going beyond the law of God and saying, well, you have to follow these laws, and if you follow these laws to the T, then you are righteous, you are right before God. They made their own standard of righteousness. But Jesus comes along and says, no, God, He is the standard of righteousness, and He reveals that to us in His Word. So this is God's righteousness. He's the standard of that righteousness, and that is revealed in His Word and in His law. Now, why does the text speak of hungering and thirsting for this righteousness? Why is this righteousness of God so desperately needed? Why is this something that we hunger and thirst for? Well, righteousness is needed to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. There's the importance of it. Righteousness is needed to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Those who are unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus says that later in Matthew 5, verse 20. Take notice of that. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So the scribes and Pharisees set their own standard for righteousness. Their standard was all outward. It was the checklist standard. If you can check off the boxes, then you're righteous before God. And they took no account at all of the heart. So that what one did could look good on the outside, but at the same time, their heart was not turned at all towards God, and they were not serving Him or seeking His glory. And Jesus says, that's not perfect righteousness. The standard really is so much higher than that. The righteousness that you must have exceeds that righteousness. And unless you have it, you will not, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Righteousness is needed to inherit the kingdom of God. Why is that? What follows from the fact that God is righteous. Therefore, His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. And therefore, only the righteous may enter in. And only the righteous may fellowship with the King of the kingdom. And those who are unrighteous face the wrath of God. Now, this is why a fundamental characteristic of the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. And why what is needed to enter into the kingdom is the righteousness of God. Now, to add to that, with the context here of the Sermon on the Mount, we of ourselves do not have this righteousness. We desperately need it. We have none of it ourselves. And remember the history. God created Adam righteous. God created Adam righteous when He created Adam in His image. He was righteous and holy and had true knowledge. But Adam fell from that. He fell when he disobeyed God's command and ate the forbidden fruit there in the garden, and thus he became unrighteous before God. He was not in perfect conformity to the standard of God. He disobeyed God, and thus righteousness was passed on to the whole human race. Romans 3 verse 10 makes that very clear, that we are all unrighteous, that we can do no good. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We are unrighteous of ourselves. Understand what that means? Well, what that means is you and I cannot of ourselves inherit the kingdom of God. We can never, ever, ever measure up to the standard of God's righteousness. We need righteousness. We need the righteousness of God. We need the righteousness that is found alone in Jesus Christ. And thus, when we look at righteousness this morning, that's where we look. We look to Christ. Even through the bread and the wine this morning, and now in the preaching, we look to Christ. And see not only that He suffered and that He died, but that He did that in perfect righteousness. What that means is, He did it in perfect obedience to the will of God. He loved God and He loved His people perfectly. He submitted to the will of God. And that's the righteousness that we need. And that is the righteousness that is imputed to us. That's justification. Justification. God declaring us righteous because the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to us. It's been given to us so that God sees us in that righteousness. This is the righteousness we need. This is the righteousness that we hunger and thirst for. This is the righteousness we hunger and thirst for this morning after examining ourselves and seeing our sin. And we say, this is what I need. This is what I need desperately. This is what I need more than anything else. And I know that as a citizen of the kingdom who is humble. But not only do I need that in the presence of God, but I also need this righteousness to be worked in me. Not to add to the righteousness of Christ, but because God changes His people and works righteousness in them so that we begin to obey His commandments, and we will perfectly when we are taken to our heavenly home. This is the righteousness we need. Now the text here, Jesus here, speaks of hungering and thirsting for this righteousness. Hunger and thirst is the spiritual activity of faith of the man who knows his great need for this righteousness. Hungering and thirsting. So basic. We easily understand. Yesterday was a hot summer day. And if you spent some time outside, you were thirsty. And you wanted a cold glass of water or a cold glass of lemonade. And it was refreshing. Or you think of being hungry. You kids have it. Think of teenage boys. Seemingly always hungry. We understand hunger. And we get hungry and we want something to eat and we want it right away. Well, Jesus here uses that picture, that figure, hunger and thirst. When we're hungry, we seek food. When we're thirsty, we seek something to drink. This reality points us to a spiritual reality this morning. So just as we get hungry, just as we get thirsty, we hunger and thirst for Christ. It was a while back at the beginning of coronavirus when we were all told to stay at home and we were talking about prayer, and then there was a sermon I preached also on fasting and prayer and said that that was one of the benefits of fasting is that we do get hungry. And when we get hungry, we remind ourselves in those moments where we're hungry that we need Christ more than we need food. That's exactly what we're reminded of this morning. We do need food for our bodies, but we need Christ more than we need bread. We need Christ more than we need water. We need Him, and we need His righteousness. And I believe, too, that that's what God works in us by taking some things away and taking away the last time we were scheduled to have the Lord's Supper. So that there's a growing longing that we have then for Christ in the sacrament. He is present in the sacrament, not physically, but spiritually is present. And so we have a longing for Him, and may that be what drove us to come here this morning. That was the desire that captured our hearts and souls. We need Christ and His righteousness. And that's even part of the Lord's Supper. And that's why it's bread and that's why it's wine. To point out to us that even as we need bread and wine for our bodies, food and drink for our bodies, we need Christ for our souls and for our salvation. I hunger and thirst for that which I lack. And the only thing that can satisfy is Christ and His righteousness. Why? Because He satisfied for my sins by His death. And His righteousness is what I need because I'm not righteous of myself. No matter how good I might think I look on the outside, I'm desperately wicked. And my heart is desperately wicked as well. And we see and understand this morning that this hunger and thirst is not something that we have of ourselves. It's a hunger and thirst that the Holy Spirit works within us. There are those who claim that everyone has this hunger and thirst, that all hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not true. All people hunger and thirst for something. I'm not just talking about physical hunger. There's a spiritual hunger that they have. Everyone hungers and thirsts for something. And they seek it in the hopes that it will satisfy. We live in a world today, and just take a moment to think about that, a world today that's hungering and thirsting and trying to find satisfaction in things that will never provide satisfaction for them. Money, success, popularity, and the list goes on and on and on. There's no satisfaction to be found in those things. And God has taken some of those things away. You think about that, what He's taken away. For some, maybe work, sports, and many other things as well. And thus the world finds themselves empty and they have to move on to the next thing because they've lost interest in that other thing. And they're trying to find that which will satisfy their souls and they never find it. But the Holy Spirit, He works in the citizens of the kingdom of heaven so that their eyes are open. Their eyes are open to their need. Their eyes are opened to their sin. And they see that what they need is Christ and Christ alone. We need Him and we need His righteousness and we need the life of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit makes us alive, gives us this hunger and thirst. Do you know this hunger and thirst that I preach of this morning? Do you have this longing for Christ? The desire for Him and for His righteousness because you know the reality of your sin? When we have that, that will be evident in our lives. Then we're not going to hunger and thirst for the wrong things. We're not going to be looking for satisfaction in all kinds of other things like the world does around us. We're not looking for it in a certain feeling. We're not looking for it in a certain experience. We're not looking for it in possessions. We're not looking for it in money. We're not looking for it in approval from people. We're not looking for it in popularity. We're not looking for it in success. No, we're looking for that which we need in Jesus Christ. We're not looking to find our own way and to do our own thing. We're not just looking thinking we need relief from all the suffering that we have in our lives. No, not that. But where there is this hungering and thirsting, first of all, there's repentance. This is part of repentance. The repentance which is sorrow and crying out to God, "I'm sorry. I've disobeyed. Forgive me. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. See me in His righteousness." You see, this is part of true repentance that is found in the citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Do you know this true repentance? Where there's repentance, there's the longing for Christ and His righteousness. But also, where there is this hungering and thirsting for Christ, there's a desire to sit at His feet and to hear Him and receive comfort and hope from Him. Those who hunger and thirst are driven to the Word of God and to the Word of Christ because in that Word we hear of the righteousness that we need, God's righteousness that is imputed to us, that is given to us in Jesus Christ. There we read of the death and the resurrection of our Savior. There we read of that which gives us strength for our faith and our spiritual lives, the hope that we have in Christ. Nothing else satisfies. Nothing else satisfies. Not food, not drink, not any of the things of this earth. Beloved, this alone satisfies. So we come to the supper this morning saying, "Give me the bread." Not that bread. Oh yeah, that bread. But the bread of life. Give me the bread of life. Give me the living water. Give me what is found alone in Jesus Christ. That's our desire as we come together to the table this morning. And not only that, we would have him now, but we would have him forever. The desire here is a desire to live with Christ forever, to live in the new heavens and new earth with him, to live with him, praising him and glorifying him forever without sin. So that's the desire here that the text is speaking of, the longing that we have in our souls. But now the text says this. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." What is the blessing for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? It is this: they shall be filled. The point is that the citizen of the kingdom of heaven will receive that which he seeks. It's not that we receive it because we seek it. No, God works in us the desire to seek this righteousness, to seek Christ, and in that way, this is how God works, we receive that which we seek. We are filled, we are satisfied. We receive this because God is faithful, because He, in His grace and mercy, gives to us that which we need, and we live in peace. There is a calm that we have. We experience peace with God. That's what it is to be filled. To be satisfied with the knowledge that I'm right before God. I'm right because of the finished work of Christ. I'm right because I have the righteousness of Christ, and God sees me in that righteousness. We come carrying baggage. It's the baggage of our sin. It's the baggage that's heavy. It weighs us down. In fact, it's baggage that's so heavy we can't carry it. Kids, have you ever tried to lift something you couldn't carry? And then Dad had to come and lift it for you because you couldn't carry it. That's what we have. We have a weight, a burden that's too big to carry. But we have a Savior who carried it and paid for our sins and satisfied God's justice. That's what we see and understand this morning as well. When we come to the Lord's Supper, we come to be filled, not with bread and wine. It's too little. We come to be filled with Christ and His righteousness. And thus we have that in the preaching of the gospel. We have that in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the righteousness that is by faith. And we have this in answer to our prayers when we cry out to our God. And we will have this most fully in heaven. Think about that. Then we shall be satisfied, as we sing in that versification of Psalm 17. And so the idea this morning is this: having this righteousness brings blessing and happiness. It brings happiness and blessing. The world pursues happiness and blessing in following their sinful lusts. The world says that it promises life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as inalienable rights. But the reality is that happiness is not found in pursuing these rights that we have. Happiness comes from God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's found only when we know that we're righteous before God in Christ. And this is what God promises to the citizens of the kingdom. This is yours. This joy of the finished work of Christ, this joy of the righteousness that is found in Him. We have this blessing both now and forever. We have the highest blessings, life and fellowship with Him. And this is ours, all ours, because of the finished work of Christ and His righteousness that is imputed to us. So as citizens of the kingdom this morning, we worship, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. We partake, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do hunger and thirst for Christ and His righteousness. And we ask, Father, that this morning through worship, through the Word and the Sacrament, Thou wilt fill us. We came with mouths open wide. We were empty. But we trust that as we leave, we are filled with Christ and His righteousness and the comfort of the good news of salvation in Him. So bless us, Father. Bless us, we pray, not because we deserve it, but bless us because Thou art ever faithful to Thy promises and Thou art faithful in Thy grace and love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.